Are you ready to elevate your coaching?
Whether you're just starting out or an experienced coach, get ready to up-level, enhance your mindset and amplify your skills with The Coaching Catalyst.
Let the transformation begin.
And welcome back to another episode of the Coaching Catalyst podcast with me, Rebecca Daniel, and my co-host and business partner, Sarah Bramall. Last episode, we spoke about the supervision space, what supervision is for, and the kinds of topics that you can bring. And in today's episode, we are going to be talking about one of our favorite topics, which is why new learning sucks and what we can do about it. Hi, Sarah, over to you.
Hey, Rebecca, thank you. And this is so important. We know this, Rebecca and I, for those of you who don't know, we're both ex-English teachers and we have a combined experience of 30 years in education. So we know quite a lot about learning and about the learning process. But I think it's fair to say for both of us, when we made the transition out of the classroom into the coaching space, that's where the steepest learning curve came for us. And it's important for us to remember this ourselves as coaches, that we're constantly in that process of learning and development, and also for our clients, because when we're in a coaching conversation with a client, that client is trusting us with their development. They're trusting us to walk alongside them as they move from where they are currently to where they want to be. And any of you who have been coached yourselves will know that this process requires courage, vulnerability, and resilience. And for all of us, that process of change is necessarily uncomfortable, which is why we've called this episode Why New Learning Sucks.
And don't get us wrong, Sarah and I are always putting ourselves in positions where we are starting something new, like this podcast. And yes, new learning can suck. It can feel hard, especially for us as adults, because most of us come to coaching with some degree of existing success in our business, in our personal lives, and we might have had a career or ran a business or raised children, and sometimes we forget about the fact that we are starting and learning new skills, and then we develop those skills over time and we just do them. We do them naturally without even thinking about it. And it can feel really hard to begin again and to put ourselves in the position of not knowing. As Sarah said, it can feel vulnerable, but that's the beauty of learning. Sarah and I always say that nothing comes from staying in your comfort zone, and actually the magic does happen when we step out of that. So we're going to share with you something that really helped us when we were learning something new and when we still continue to put ourselves in that position.
And that's it. The growth comes outside the comfort zone, doesn't it? But it's really helpful to understand this learning process to help us to apply that to our learning and to that of our clients. So one model that we like to use to help us to process this is called the Conscious Competence Ladder. It's quite an old model. It was developed in the 1970s by a man called Noel Birch, who was an employee with Gordon Training International. But sometimes the oldies are the goodies, and this one I think is one that really stands the test of time, because this model highlights two factors that affect our thinking as we're learning a new skill. So firstly, what's going on in our consciousness or not going on in our consciousness or our awareness? And secondly, what's going on in terms of our skill level or our competence, hence it being called the Conscious Competence Ladder. So according to this model, we move through different levels as we build competence in a new skill. So Rebecca, let me hand to you. Will you start explaining this?
Of course. So we go through the first stage, which is that we are unconsciously incompetent. Sometimes this is a tongue twister, so we have to say that slowly. Unconsciously incompetent. And when we are at this stage, we don't know what we don't know. That's the unconscious element of it. But we have no skills in these areas too. So this is where we are starting our learning journey. This is the very first position where we will all be. So when we enter into the car on our first driving lesson, when we hop on the bike, on our first riding experience, this is the stage that we all start at. This is the stage where it can be tricky for coaches to get to, Sarah, because it's at this point that they are like, okay, I'm now thinking of going on to learn something new or embark on something new. Can I do it? And this is the stage that we really want coaches to persevere and know that we have all been in that position. Then the next stage is that you are consciously incompetent. So you are aware that you don't have a particular skill in a particular area and that you do have a learning journey ahead of you. So again, it's these first two stages that we see a lot of resistance to change. We see a lot of exploration around fear and confidence or lack of. But actually, this is the stage where we can really, really think about, okay, what have I done previously in my career, in my journey? What other hard things have I experienced that I've worked towards to get me to the end result? So what comes after this stage, Sarah?
Thanks, Rebecca. And yeah, I think it's probably that stage of being consciously incompetent that really requires the most courage and resilience to persevere through that stage. And then with practice and with time, we do move to the third stage, which is where we're consciously competent. So we have developed a skill set, but we're probably having to concentrate quite hard while we're doing it. So for those of you who are drivers, you will know that probably coming up to passing your driving test in the first months after having passed your driving test, you are probably at that stage of being consciously competent. You can drive, you've maybe passed your test, but you're having to think quite hard about what you're doing, about your mirror, your signal, your maneuver, and how you move through that process as you go. But with time and with practice, we move to the fourth and to the final stage, which is called unconsciously competent. We can do it. We can perform the skill, perform the function that we're doing, but we don't have to focus so much on it because it's so easy. So now when it gets to the end of the day and I think, okay, I need to go and get my daughter from school, I grab my keys, I get in the car, and I go from A to B without having to think about my gear changes or how I signal when I go around a roundabout, etc. Because I have that skill embedded, I can do it now without having to give it too much thought and energy. Now, when we start training and coaching, this model is really useful for us as well, because probably as we're training as coaches, we probably are moving through all of this, all of these different stages, to the point where, again, maybe around the time of us getting closer towards qualification, possibly post-qualification, we're still having to think quite carefully about what we're doing. We're having to focus on the skills that we're doing. We're really, really heightened in our awareness, but with time and with practice, we can do it with ease. So just like me getting in the car and driving from A to B, I can do it without having to think too carefully about what I'm doing, which means I'm able then to access my intuition. I'm able to be more present with the client I'm with because I'm not thinking about myself and my process in the same way.
Now, don't get me wrong, it's a great feeling when we know what we're doing and when we're comfortable and confident in that knowing and we are assured in our abilities. But the truth is that as coaches, even if we are experienced and competent in our field and we are operating in this space of like unconscious competence, we do need to keep putting ourselves back into the position of not knowing. So for Sarah and I, ongoing development, personal, professional, coach development is so important, because we know that we can actually also become complacent in our knowledge too. We can pick up habits along the way. So don't ask my partner whether I should have a driver's license, because I'm sure he will disagree that I have picked up so many habits, and I'm sure you all have too if you're driving. But it's important for us to continue to learn new skills, enhance the skills that we already have, and have this attitude of curiosity. That is the fundamental part of our coaching toolkit, being able to know that the learning doesn't stop. So supervision is a perfect environment for us to foster new learning, new growth, because in this space, we can come to supervision again with that attitude of not knowing, and we can be ready to get a little bit messy. So I know that you may hear of the analogy of dancing in the moment, but for me in supervision, I say, let's splash in puddles, let's get muddy, let's get messy, because that is where the fun comes. That is where the learning happens, when we can really put ourselves in uncomfortable positions of not knowing, but also a position of openness and willingness to learn from the other supervisees, learn from their experiences, pick up additional tools and knowledge that can support us in our development, because in turn, it then helps us to give a better service to our clients as well.
Absolutely, Rebecca. And that's where supervision is such a rich space, to be able to take off any masks maybe that we're wearing, any ideas that we've kind of, you know, that we know what we're doing, or any sort of sense of certainty, and just let ourselves be comfortable, as you say, splashing in those puddles, being playful, being curious, being exploratory in our approach, because that's how we continue to learn and to grow. So our challenge for you today is for you to think about where you are meeting your edges as a coach. Where are you allowing yourself to get into the messiness? Because when we move into that space of uncertainty and that space of not knowing, that's where the magic happens. So again, we'd love to hear from you, your reflections on this episode. And as we move then to wrapping up today, I'd like to invite you to reflect on our conversation and to think about two words that are coming up for you that summarize what you're taking away from the conversation today. So Rebecca, let's come to you first. What are you taking away from the conversation today?
So I've absolutely loved this conversation and revisiting it with you. And I would advise anyone who is resonating with this to get comfortable with feeling uncomfortable. That's the first stage for me. Enjoy that curiosity, enjoy that new learning experience. So for me, the two words that come up are faith and embrace. What about you, Sarah?
Faith and embrace, I love. For me, messiness and learning. And as we've said, we'd love you to connect with us on socials. Let us know what your two words are, your two takeaways from today's conversation. Now, if you've enjoyed our conversation today, do join us next time for episode 5, which is about evolving your coaching practice. We've called it Beyond the Grow, and we're going to have an interesting conversation about the benefits and the limitations of using coaching models in coaching. So we'd love you to join us next time. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you've heard anything that's prompted a question, inspired you, or challenged you, head to the podcast page on our website. That's www.thecoachingcatalysts.com/podcast.
We also have a free guide to help you to elevate your coaching practice. So hop onto our mailing list to receive your copy. And if you've enjoyed this conversation today, please follow, rate, and review the podcast.